in the land. Amen. We were really singing that song. Amen. Praise God. We're here tonight that God has watched over us and blessed us with the presence of mind to go, dine, and come back. Apparently the others didn't get the message. But God knows how to give folks messages. So we just keep doing what we know that God wants us to do and keep marching doggedly on in the pathway of duty. We're delighted to see all of you who are here. We're glad to have the visitors with us this evening. We even have a visitor from another Virginia city that I happen to know. And we are delighted to see him. And we'll talk more about him after a while. Right now we're going to talk about Jesus. Everything is going to be all right. Amen. In Isaiah 45, just write these names down. Isaiah chapter 45 and Luke chapter 22, verses 39-44. And Luke chapter 23, verses 33-34. Defining moment. Gethsemane was a defining moment for Jesus. Although he had many, none does compare. Gethsemane and Golgotha were two very supremely defining moments in the earthly life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, in Gethsemane on planet Earth. It began to weigh heavily upon Jesus what was about to happen in his life. He was about to pay the penalty for the sins of all humanity. Jesus had never, sinned. This would be a new experience for the Son of God, his only begotten Son, the sinless Son of God. He was born into the world to die for humanity. He himself had never sinned. He was dying for us. Came all the way from Glory Land, fellowshipping with his Father. Born as God saw fit through a human being. Lived among us for 33 years. And we are something else to live with, aren't we? We know ourselves. He had never sinned, and he comes to this particular moment . But why? Really, 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 why? He was on planet Earth. All because of his Father's love for humans. And his love for humans. God's only begotten Son. The question mark, I'm sure, for some on planet Earth, Jesus, are you going to stay? Are you going to let them put you on a cross? Are you going to let them take the life? Humans, take your life. A defining moment. He was, is, and still is God's only begotten Son. God has to love God. For God to do what he has done. Pardon my colloquialism, but God, sure enough, must love human beings. Even from the beginning, when we read Genesis chapter 1, all that he did that we might have this world that we are never, to my knowledge, anxious to leave. All because of what God did and what God continues to do for us. Let us be mindful of how loving and caring God is towards us. Jesus comes to his defining moment for the matchless and as the matchless Lamb of God. His Father sent him to earth for the salvation of humans. Would he remain faithful? Would he remain true? Will you take this final step? He had never been called upon to endure such a humiliating occasion. Not for himself, not for anyone in heaven, but for us, human beings. It was humiliating, shameful, and painful sacrifice that awaited him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Are you really going to pay the price for us? His defining moment arrives. It would also be a defining moment for all of humanity. If he's going to stay or leave. If he refused and did nothing, we would still be under the curse and the doom of sin. Hopeless, helpless, unable to help ourselves, groping in darkness, groveling in iniquity, and doomed to an eternal hell of fire and brimstone. That's where humans were. Jesus makes his way on the day that he knows that the time has come. He makes his way knowing that he's going to be arrested. First meets with his apostles, his chosen. Then he goes into a garden for prayer. Jesus makes his way to where he's accustomed to going. He prays. We don't know, but we can certainly believe and guess how his only Father is now looking upon his only begotten Son, hounded and soon to die a painful death. Not just a death, but to die a painful death. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's accustomed to going and praying, as the apostles follow him. He has a need to talk to his Father. In this, his darkest hour, his most challenging task that he has come to undertake, not for himself, but for us, for you, for me, and all humans. In his darkest hour, he wants to commune to his Heavenly Father. And I think it's always a good idea to stay in touch. And we sing the song, Just a Little Talk with God. Just a little talk. In your dim moments, dark moments, challenging moments, just a little talk with our Heavenly Father. He came out and went as he was accustomed to, as we said a few minutes ago. He went to the Mount of Olives, a garden. A garden-like place. His apostles followed him. And when he arrived there, he told the bunch to stay right here. He had three of them to follow him a little bit further into the court. And then he went a stone's throw and began to pray to his Heavenly Father. He has never had to pray like he's praying now. He never had to pray for what he's praying for now. The wisdom, the challenge, the pain, like never before. But brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, were it not for a son like Jesus, we would not be here as we are tonight. It's all because of what he did hundreds of years ago, what he did for all of humanity. He took our place, died, humiliated, like a common criminal. He didn't do it for him. He did it to save us.
Yes, sir.
And it's too difficult. It's too difficult for some of the us's to worship him in the PM. Look around and compare it to the AM. And expect and have the audacity to expect to go to heaven and live with him forever. And only want to give him, and maybe I guess they want, but let me put it this way, and only giving him 2 or 3 hours all day on Sunday. That's all you can have, Lord. I can't fit you in anymore. It's challenging. It is challenging sometimes, but it's always a happy challenge to serve the Lord. Thank God for God. You know, when you really concentrate on what Jesus did, you have trouble. It's highly likely you have trouble making the same decision that he made. Well, I'll take some stripes. I'll take some beatings. But you know, Jesus goes. He prays to his Father. Great drops fell to the ground from his brow as teardrops, but they were blood drops. Called to his Father. Just a little talk with my Father. Jesus set that example, church. You got something dealing, you're dealing with that's challenging? Just a little talk with your Father. And remember the song. Hold to what? Hold to God's unchanging hand. He is our Heavenly Father also.
Yes, sir.
We can live the life and talk to him. And he hears our prayers. Jesus is called upon to make a sacrificial gift to all of humanity. That's why he came, but that doesn't make it any easier. He had already given a great deal in the past, healing the sick, raising their dead, on three different occasions. But now, it's not them. It's him. It's not them. It's Jesus. Lord Jesus, are you willing to give sacrificially? A defining moment for our Lord and Savior. By the Bible verse that you can remember being taught to say as a youngster. John 3:16. Oh, you don't know? You don't know? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and Jesus knows that. He knows that. He knows the love that his Father has for him. Jesus wants to help us, but most of all, I think, now that's just me thinking, he wants to save us. And he did. I think there's somewhere in the Bible that says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find what?
Rest.
Rest unto your souls. And Jesus says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? That's the way he wants us to think about any challenge we face in serving him. And keep holding to God's unchanging hands. And I think that in that chapter, the verse 30 says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 11, I believe it is about verse 28, 29. God sent not an angel from glory when his son is in such a predicament. He has decided to give the sacrificial gift, Jesus and his Father. A gift that will cost him dearly. He wants to save humanity. But from my limited post of observation, I think he also wanted immensely to save you and me, humanity. But he also wanted to please his Father. We find him leading the way to the place where he's going to be crucified. As they lead Jesus, people that's going to put him to death. I don't want to start calling them names, but they were crooks. Jesus walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. There's some in the crowd that's watching his every step. There's some women, and Jesus says to them as he walks, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves, and weep for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never give suck." Luke chapter 23. And in verse 33 it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there the enemies crucified Jesus. And two malefactors, so three, were crucified that day. Malefactor on a cross, Jesus in the middle on a cross. Surrounded with evil, the Savior, our Savior, the Son of God, the matchless Son of God, who never sinned. From the cross, being crucified, hard to breathe the way he was put to death. He cries out, "Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his garment and cast lots. Jesus dying for you and for me. And we think it's too much to come back tonight, church. Some. But thank God, not all. But he died. That's why we're here. That's why we have the glorious privilege of being adopted sons and daughters of God, because of what his only begotten Son did years ago for us on Calvary's cross. He did it. He gave sacrificially. He gave his all for what he believed and what he thought and what he knew. A great cause. It pleased his Father. He sacrificed for you and for me. And we have trouble coming back tonight, church. He did it. He did it. And thank God Almighty, if he didn't did it, we would be in trouble. We would be in trouble. Who could we pray to? Because we would still be sinners. Jesus trusted his Father to bring him through. When we do the Father's will, gratifying and glorifying Him, we trust Him to take care of us and give us good success in what we're doing for Him. In closing, we can see some of the earmarks of those who are committed, and there are others who are just cliffhangers. God blessed us to remodel a little bitty small church that holds about 125 people. God blessed us to outgrow that church. And He blessed us to build a brand new church. I mean a brand new church building that would hold approximately 150 people or more. Brothers, you better be guessing about the numbers, perhaps more than I am. And God blessed us to do what? To outgrow that building. And now He blessed us to build this. But it hasn't been completed in 3 years. Gone by. But we're here. We're here.
Yes, sir.
Some has had the bold audacity to walk away. If you make it, you make it. But you won't make it with my help. Church, this is my point. We sing the song, let's do the deed. Hold to God's on what? Unchanging hand. The same God that brought us through yonder will bring us through this. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You want a subject? Hold to God's unchanging hand. I think, I know, He is able to bring us through. Oh, church. Woo! Go ahead and preach, Brian. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. He has called us. He has done all of this and brought us here. We did not bring ourselves here. He brought us here. Let us keep marching on in the pathway of duty, holding on to God's unchanging hand. No matter who may decide to leave, let us do and treat and act like we know God. And act like we know that He is able to bring us through. We sing a song, you fight on. You fight on. Lord, can I have a line? I'm closing. Can I have a verse of you fight on?
Fight on.
Oh, yes.
You fight on.
Let's sing it like we mean.
Do you fight on?
Oh,
will
yes.
Will you fight on? Keep your head in God's hand.
And do what?
Do you fight on? You fight on.
Just keep your hands in God's hand. And hold on to God's unchanging hand. Where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? How is your faith? Trusting God. It's a terrible thing to see people acting like they believe that when they're going to leave the world, they're going to go to heaven. And if you believe that God can bless you to go to heaven, surely you ought to believe that he can help us to put up a building. Because we don't know any airport that have a sign say heaven bound. Except this one. Churches of Christ, wherever they are. Where are you tonight? You need faith? We'll pray for you. All you need to do is ask. And God will hear the prayers of the righteous. You're not in the church that Jesus blessed to die for and have established, known in the Bible as the Church of Christ, and known in Richmond, Virginia as the Church of Christ, and in other places as well. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Be godly sorrowful for the things you've done contrary to the will of God. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of what? Every sin you have ever committed. God forgives you. Not only does he forgive you, he adds you to his family, the Church of Christ. Ain't that good news? And when you pray, you can say, "My Father, which art in heaven." And if you live right, he hears your every prayer. If you're here of that disposition, you're not in the Bible church, you come. If you're here, you're in the body of Christ, but you're living contrary to his will, renew your covenant and rededicate your life to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us, as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Jesus is tender.
Oh, yes, he is.
Home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam?
Oh,
farther
yeah.
And farther away. Come.